Shut up. The footage
of Dribbling. It's never been bigger.
Oh, big atmosphere.
More massive moments.
What about that?
Every massive match.
The energy, the electricity is building.
Massive!
Oh. For McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Hello and welcome to Thursday Night Footy. It's round 14. We're here in Perth at Optus Stadium. I'm Tanya Armstrong. Thanks for joining us on our Triple M Rocks Footy coverage of this huge match between the West Coast Eagles and Essendon. We've got fifth spot. West Coast Eagles 8-4 heading into this one. Essendon sitting 10th. They can jump into the top eight if they win this. Currently 6-6. We have got one of the best newsbreakers in the business joining us as well, Jay Clark. Welcome along.
Yes, good evening, Tan. Thanks so much for having me. Can't wait for this one. There's a real air of confidence around the Bombers camp this week that they can give the reigning premiers a real shake. So it'll be interesting to see how they go. Essendon, of course, winners over Hawthorn last week. Can they take that form across the Nullarbor? It's going to be interesting tonight.
It's some tough fixturing, isn't it? It's a 6-day break for the Bombers. I know they came back off a 12-day break last start, but 6 days and coming over to Perth.
Yeah, straight into it. I can't wait to see the back lines, really. I mean, we talk a lot about how good Jeremy McGovern is, Tan, but Michael Hurley and Cale Hooker, just about the best defensive pairing since round four. Early this season, so over the past 10 or so weeks, they have been magnificent. It'll be interesting to see whether that Collingwood forward line, those big boys, Kennedy and Darling, of course, can crack that defensive pairing.
Yeah, as we know, the Bombers did a job on the West Coast Eagles here last year, but there was no Josh Kennedy or Jack Darling in that match. What have you made of the Eagles making 6 changes? It's pretty unheard of for them. They're normally a very settled team.
Yeah, very interesting. It raised my eyebrow, Tanya. I think Hearn is just so important for them. They've really missed him. Yo comes back into the team. We know what a great young player Oscar Allen is as well. So, look, I think they're strengthened by the changes. It is unusual for them. They normally are a bit more settled, and Nathan Vardy lose his spot after a pretty interesting week, of course, but just Hearn and Yeo, such big inclusions.
We're also joined by Norm Smith medalist Andrew Embley. He's a fixture at these games in Perth. Embers, huge clash tonight.
Yeah, g'day, Tanya and Jay, and certainly looking forward to this game. We know what happened in the corresponding game this time last year. Woosha brought his Bombers to town. That first quarter was absolutely electrifying, blew West Coast out of the water. I'm sure Simo would have mentioned that during the week. It's really important for the West Coast Eagles. We've spoken about some of the changes that they've made. They bring some leadership in. I think Elliot Yeo through the midfield is absolutely crucial. I think he was probably the player for mine that really turned West Coast season around through the midfield. Some of his pressure around the contest allows Shuey to be able to go and do what he wants to do. Gaff on the outside. So the Eagles have got some midfield power there. And when you've got a forward line really potent like the Eagles forward line, we know that Kennedy and Darling weren't out there this time last year. Obviously Hurley and Hooker in really good form. You need to be able to compete inside that forward 50. And if you can win that supply battle in the Eagles, they are going to be tested because Essendon will take them on through the midfield. But I think if the West Coast can win that supply battle, get the ball inside forward 50, they've got some guys in there that are going to compete and kick some goals.
The Eagles trained here on Tuesday night at Optus Stadium. They've stayed off the stadium for a while. So much talk about the surface, but they've returned for 2 sessions here. I know Elliot Yeo didn't complete that session. There was some doubt, but he's got the go-ahead, obviously, in the last couple of days.
Players are very smart now, and sports science plays a very important role. And they manage these guys really well these days. We know that there's been some issues here at Optus Stadium with the surface being quite hard. There's been some stress fractures that have happened to both Fremantle and West Coast players over the start of this season. But from all reports, Yeo's trained really well. He's freshened up. Also with Shannon Hearn as well. No doubt that break, I think, did probably come at the right time for the West Coast Eagles. They were starting to struggle a little bit from all reports. A few of their players were starting to get a few niggles. So freshen up, big test, because Essendon before their bye and then after the bye have been very good.
Embers, you never missed a session, mate, let's be honest. I remember you pounding up and down that wing, mate. You used to eat up every kilometre on the training track. You never missed one. I'm interested, just, you mentioned Elliot Yeo. What about Dylan Clark? I mean, he's been a giant killer. Took out Patrick Cripps and then Jago O'Meara last week. The man with the best six-pack in football. Wonder if he's got his eyes on Elliot Yeo tonight. You mentioned him, he's the big dog in that West Coast midfielder. Still no Luke Shuey, so you'd think he'd be the one to go to, and has been in just outstanding form. It gives a very offensive and attacking Essendon midfield finally some balance, and that's been a big issue for the Bombers for the past couple of years. So look, it's been clever by Woosher, I think, to bring him in, and it just allows Zachy Merritt and Dylan Shield to do their thing.
Well, that's right. And both sides have got good players that can actually tag if they want to. Obviously, Hutchins with West Coast and also Clark, as you mentioned, with the Bombers. It's done some really outstanding jobs for a young kid that hasn't played much football. So clearly got the confidence from the coach, and clearly they just love giving young kids an opportunity. And Woosh has done that throughout his career. He's blooded young kids. He's saying, you know what, we believe in you. You've done the work. You've prepared yourself really well. And we're going to back you in just to play your role and do a job. And so West Coast obviously got Elliot Yeo, Luke Shuey as well through there. Even Andrew Gaff this afternoon or tonight, he finds so much football on the outside. Woosh knows Gaff really, really well. And there's been a thought in the past that the inside mids are going to find the football. So why don't we put some pressure on the outside mids to be able to stop that run and carry? And Andrew Gaff certainly does that.
Well, who would you go to? What call would you make, Embers? Who would you put him on?
No, I'd go Luke Shuey. I think Luke Shuey is he's the Norm Smith medalist. He is West Coast prime mover at the moment. I think he's the one for mine. If I was going to shut down an Eagles mid right now, Luke Shuey's your man.
Hard-hitting interviewer, I believe. Andrew Embley has gone one-on-one with Andrew Gaff. So looking forward to that one.
I did, yeah. I had a good chat with Andrew Gaff this morning, actually. So normally very hard to have a chat with these guys on game day, but Andrew Gaff's a wonderful guy. I did ask him a couple of questions in regards to his contract and a bit about some of the stuff that happened last year. And I must admit, it's still very raw for Andrew Gaff. So certainly stay tuned for that interview a bit later.
Yeah, got a job with 60 Minutes lined up.
I'm not sure about that, Dan. We'll wait and see.
Speaking of some breaking news, I believe there might be a bit of contract news around.
Yeah, Jack Billing signed a new two-year deal at St Kilda. Been in great form this year for the Saints, it's fair to say. He's probably their most electric midfielder. He's got the class and the polishing skills. Certainly there were some clubs interested in Jack Billing's tan and embers. There was some strong interest at the start of the year, but he's turned all that away to sign a new two-year deal at the Saints. So an absolutely massive coup for the footy club as they again look to go to the trade period at the end of the year and top up with some more class. So keep an eye on the Saints in this year's trade period to get really busy.
Do you know much about the deal? How much it's worth? How much coin?
Oh, yeah, it'd be about $800,000 a year. That's where he's elevated himself to, 10. So it's really good money. As I said, there was interest in him, so there was strong competition. Only that 2 years, possibly St Kilda would have liked to have tied him up for a little bit longer, but I reckon $1.6 million in the skyrocket over the next 2 seasons for the number 3 draft pick.
Oh, it's a lot of money, isn't it?
It's pretty like you, Embers.
Well, I'll tell you what, when you had a guy called Ben Cousins and Chris Judd and Daniel Kerr and Dean Cox alongside you, there wasn't much money for the outside wingman.
There's a couple of big ins for the Saints this weekend as well. I'll probably get you to run through a few teams. There's 6 matches in round 14. Jay, I know Hanbury's getting his first run and Jake Carlisle's back as well.
Yeah, well, St Kilda made obviously a massive investment in Daniel Hanbury, a 5-year deal on good coin, about $750,000 a year. He's had so many setbacks in the preseason. Calves and hamstring, just been so frustrating for him. But after two pretty good games in the VFL, he showed some strong form. He gets the call up in the game against Brisbane. Huge clash this for St Kilda because it does help them keep touch with the top 8, of course. And also Jake Carlisle. So he had back surgery prior to round 1 to fix a protruding disc. He comes back in. So two really strong ins, Hanbury and Carlisle, for the Saints against Brisbane Lions, who get back a Christian and Leicester and McInerney. Interesting that Nathan Brown, the former Collingwood Premiership player, has been dropped, but certainly be a massive spotlight on Daniel Hanbury in his comeback 10.
Ken Hinckley's gone whack as well. We saw that game firsthand, the Port Adelaide here last weekend that lost to Fremantle. Some people have paid a heavy price. No Paddy Ryder or Pal Pepper in that team.
And Justin Westhoff dropped as well. So Ryder and Westhoff dropped. That means that Scotty Lysett's the one out ruckman. And that's been the talk about him. Does he need to be the main man in that ruck contest? Because it doesn't feel like it's worked amazingly. I know Ryder kicked some goals last weekend, so really strong statement, but they've got some great ins. In come Brad Ebert, but we know how damaging he is in the forward half of the ground. Charlie Dixon finally back after kicking some snags in the sandful, and Ollie Wines, I think he's played two reserves games, so he comes back. Fascinating game against Geelong, who lose Radagalia. In comes a big man, Darcy Ford, and Paddy Dangerfield. He's on baby watch. He's a lovely wife. Marty, of course, is heavily pregnant, so hopeful he will play, but you never know, Embers. You get that emergency text message, mates, and he might be on the plane back home to Geelong.
Got to do the right thing by the family. I get a little bit harsh by Ken Hinckley. We watched Port Adelaide pretty closely last week. They were blown away in that last quarter, and clearly a concern with the way that Fremantle were able just to beat him at the contest, smashed him at contested possession, smashed him at that inside 50 entries as well. But when you have a look at Port Adelaide's travel over the last 3 or 4 weeks, I know they had the bye in between, but geez, I've been covering some K's, and they just looked like a tired team, didn't they, last week, Tan, in that last quarter in particular against Fremantle. So they've got to freshen up. They do get some players back, as Jay mentioned. Brad Ebert will be important to them, but certainly that run and carry, taking the game on, that Port Adelaide do like to do, was certainly missing late last week against Fremantle.
And a big in tomorrow night for Hawthorn as well, with Ruffy coming back into that team. A big clash up there against Sydney.
Yeah. Oh. Leadership will be important, I think. Your captain goes out, your former captain comes back in, and small ground, I think that'll probably suit the Hawthorn Football Club up against the Swans, who are starting to actually play some pretty good football. Their win against West Coast should give them enormous amount of confidence. They do play that SCG well, and I think for their fans, it's important probably to see Buddy Franklin hopefully start to get back to his best by getting his body right. That's the only thing stopping him from actually really tearing some more games apart.
No Stratton for that one. Who gets the job on, Buddy?
Oh, good question. I just wonder whether it could be... Blake Hardwick will play a small defence back there. Trying to think, who will get there? Because he's got the extra mobility. I mean, can Frawley keep up with him? I don't know that he's got the legs. Does Sicily...
Can Sicily go back?
Yeah. He's got the mobility. Maybe it's certainly... Tim O'Brien, of course, has got some athleticism. It will be difficult in his 299th game. Buddy, I think it's just great to see Ruffy back. I mean, the forward half operations of Hawthorn was pretty poxy last week. Sicily didn't go that well there. He was switched back in defence. They tried John Segler without much success. So great to see Ruffy back. I know he's hungry, certainly, to keep his spot and kick some snags and hopefully get the Hawks up to an upset win.
So Clarko indicated that Sicily would go back when he spoke at the airport today. So that's probably one of the moves that tries to put the brakes on, Buddy.
Yeah, Sicily's almost become their most important player, along with Jager O'Meara, who's a mainstay of that midfield. Sicily's become really important to them. Being in All-Australian form, I think he'll be strongly considered for that. So, look, he's so important, Tan. And also, I mean, some big changes at Melbourne. Jake Lever is out for the Demons. His first comeback game last week, he copped a knock to his knee. He's reconstructed knee, so after one game back, he's out again. And, this is a huge win for the Dockers, because Melbourne also lose Michael Hibbard, who was out with a reoccurrence of that collarbone injury, and also Jeff Garlett, the speedster. He dislocated his shoulder at training this week, so they lose Hibbard, Lever and Garlett, Melbourne. I reckon Freo have almost got to be favourites for this match at the MCG.
Interesting training session down at Coburn today. It looked like Jesse Hogan was doing a bit of a fitness test, and he was last man on the plane. He had to sort of go into a, I wouldn't call it a jog at the airport, but there were a few phone calls asking where Jesse was, but he was last on the plane to face his old demon. So sure what his problem is. The great man, Dennis Cometti.
Oh, cut it out. I'm sorry I'm late. I've got a note. I got lost in this place. More signage in this media centre.
You have to catch some public transport, but you should be able to find your way to the Dennis Cometti Media Centre.
Still got to have your pass. Yeah, my wife's got that in the glove box, I think, at the moment. Anyway, it's nice to be here. It should be a terrific game, this one, shouldn't it? I'm sure you've been talking it up.
We're looking forward to this one, aren't we? We spoke
about say that every week, though. No, we're really looking forward to this one.
No, well, Essendon, we love the way Essendon will go about things tonight. They take West Coast on with speed. And if there is a blueprint out there to beat the West Coast Eagles, it's quick ball movement, it's playing on, it's taking the Eagles through the corridor, and then compete inside their forward 50. That's going to be, for mine, a really crucial part tonight, Den, off Essendon's forward line. No string Springer's not out there, you cannot allow guys like McGovern. No, Barris is not out there at the moment. But Shepherd, Hearn, they take these intercept marks. They love to take the ball off you. They need to compete inside there. Their speed's going to be important, Essendon, to be able to put that pressure on inside their forward 50. At worst, just get a stoppage in there and make West Coast Eagles defenders defend.
For Coates Hire, this is the Triple M footy preview. We're about 50 minutes from bounce down here at Optus Stadium. For Bob Jane Teammates, we're now crossing down to the boundary line. For Mark Harvey, Essendon assistant coach, Bob Jane Teammates, hurry in, the end of financial year deal's now on. Mark, thanks for joining us.
Good evening.
Big game this for you, going for three in a row, the Bombers.
Yeah, we've won three out of the last four, actually. So the playing group has got a lot of confidence. A lot of our younger players are really starting to evolve, particularly in that midfield area. They're taking more prominent roles. So we look forward to tonight. We know what we were able to do last time when we played West Coast over here, but having said that, Darling and Kennedy didn't play. So, you know, they're coming off a break, West Coast, and didn't perform that well just prior to that. So, look, it's swirling down here. We look forward to the tempo of the crowd. We're hopefully going to entertain them and be right in this game.
Harves, you spoke about that game last year. Do you look at the vision of that game and see what you did well, especially in that first quarter? You really came over here and took it to the West Coast Eagles and blew them out of the water.
That would be hard to do again, what we did. I think we kicked the first eight goals, but personnel's changed quite a bit from our point of view and their point of view, but the way West Coast play, they kick mark a fair bit, take a lot of uncontested marks, and they use the width and the length of the ground. So it'll be our ability, if we can turn that ball over from them quicker, that's what we'll be looking to do.
Harves, you mentioned you won three out of the last four. What's been the improvement? What's been the little turnaround that you guys have had just before the bye and then obviously the game after it that feels like you're back in this competition?
As I said, our younger midfielders are taking on more serious roles. A guy like Clark, for instance, in the last 2 weeks has played on some pretty, you know, he's played on Cripps and O'Meara and done some, you know, some seriously good work there. So that helps our defence. Our defence has certainly tightened right up. So they would be the main areas. Are we still working on our forward structure and our ability to score quicker? But that's work in progress as the year goes on.
Halves, it's a Jay Clark here, mate. You didn't happen just to sort of sidle up to Razio Fantasia at training, just start sort of pinching him by any chance, did you? Just sort of whacking away in the back of the arm?
No, it wasn't part of my repertoire, Jake. I mean, there's been a lot said about it. Defenders have been doing it for years, and it's annoying. It's come to a halt. It is what it is. Our game is getting sanitised, and that's just another example of it. But having said that, I do agree with the outcome to a certain extent.
In all seriousness, you must have been impressed with how he dealt with that on the night of Razio. I mean, a lot of players, and they've admitted this over the past week, might have been tempted just to snot Stratton, to be honest, in the heat of the moment. But he did show a lot of maturity, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, I mean, he remained focused and kept trying to play through that situation. And that was his first game back from 5 weeks. And I think he kicked two goals and got 14 or 15 possessions. So, you know, he's a dangerous player, Fantasia. And you can understand why they try to shift his focus. But so hopefully he's all the better for that run. And then we see the best of him tonight.
Harvesard and McKenna, unusual strength for any team to have. They always seem to have the green light.
Yeah, you've got to halt them at times, Dennis. They can speed, put it that way, the whole time. And then they've got to relocate where their opponents are at times. So, no, but they are. Offensively, they are weapons. Yes, they are.
I was watching last week and both of them were running side by side down the ground about 15 metres apart, equal, and I thought this would be a hard choice to make.
There's a bit of competition there, Dennis.
And, is there? Who's the quicker?
Well, I think Connor actually might be over a sustained period, but Sard's quick off the mark. So, and then we've got another young kid in Redmond who likes to get on his bike as well too. So it's about getting the balance with those guys. But they're all willing, good characters. So you've got an Irishman, Sard's Lebanese and Mason's from Millicent. So you try to work out that. You try to coach through that, Dennis.
United Nations is what it is.
By the way, I saw you with some prominent AFL officials today.
No, that wasn't me. Dennis? There's a lookalike.
No, it was you.
At the moment.
Andrew, ask him what he was doing.
Dennis, what were you doing, Dennis?
I was getting a free lunch, actually.
Free lunch. Free lunch.
I'll go anywhere for a free lunch. You know that, hard. Don't try and get me off this tracking of the truth. I'm asking the hard questions here. Yes. Now, you had 9 goal kickers last week for 14 goals. Stringers out. The Eagles pride themselves on defence.
Yep.
Can you kick enough goals to win tonight?
Laverty and McKernan, Laverty kicked 3 points, McKernan kicked 1 goal, 2. If they were more accurate, we would have obviously kicked more goals. So there's two examples. If they are serious forwards, if they can get it their way, and they're emerging. So McKernan's been around for a while, but Laverty is emerging. And Tippin Woody, he didn't kick a goal last week, so that's unusual for him. So, as I said, we'll miss Stringer in that regard because he has been hitting the scoreboard regularly. But we probably need more goals to come from our midfielders at times.
Halves, we're talking about Dylan Clark earlier, and you touched on him just before. Just between us, who do you think he'll start on, Shuey, Yo, or Andrew Gaff?
Well, Jay, you've done your homework. You should know who it is. You look up champion data, who would you think he'd go to?
Well, Ambers, who we bow to his better judgment, he suggested Luke Shuey, the Norm Smith medalist. What are the chances of that?
There's him, there's Elliot. There's a couple of them there that we're going to keep an eye on, put it that way. They're going to have to worry about Merritt and Shield and all this sort of business too. So a bit of fireworks early with those matchups.
Now, Harves, I've just worked out where you saw me today. It was at the casino, wasn't it?
It was,
and
that's
I've
right.
And I've pegged you. You were the shadowy figure with stubble, a baseball cap and
that's
a squint.
Right. I was having a coffee waiting for my wife, actually. Yes.
I thought I was almost prepared to throw you money.
I didn't think you recognised me.
I did, Harves.
Harves, just going back to Dennis's question, just with the forward line structure, and yep. No Stringer. Obviously, you know, important to be able to kick a winning score tonight, but just as important is to not allow the West Coast Eagles defenders to get the game played on their terms. We know that they love to take those intercept marks. So that balance to be able just to be able to compete inside forward 50 is crucial as well.
Absolutely. Well, we've strategically had a look at our ball movement going inside our forward 50 all week based on the layoff players, McGovern, etc., Shepherd, as you mentioned. So hopefully we don't play into their hands and we can keep it in there. Another guy that we brought in is Brown. He can hit the scoreboard too. He knows what he's doing. So we've got a bit more experience in our forward line. So once again, if we go in unpressured, then their layoff players won't be able to intercept, hopefully.
And just between us, who do you think is the most dangerous Eagle tonight? For you. For Essendon, not for you personally.
Oh, I'm just looking at Flying Ryan here. He looks like he's up and about. He excites the crowd. He's a young player that's emerging.
I think that's bogus. He's only kicked 1 goal a game.
No, he has. I did have a look at that, Dennis.
Yeah. You knew that?
Yeah, I did.
Getting me off the scent.
Who's their most important player? I think it's Elliot, to be honest. Yeah,
good player, isn't he?
Yeah.
Harves, can I ask you about your key defence? I mean, I think since round 4, Hurley, Hooker, the whole combination, I think it's been the most miley backline combination in a competition since round 4. And Patrick Ambrose is also a man who flies under the radar. You must be so thrilled with how that defensive structure is operating at the moment.
Yeah, they're certainly starting to really evolve. They've got a really constructive way that they go about it. Ambrose is the unsung hero, really, to be honest. He's the one that plays on nearly the best forward all the time and just sort of puts them out of business, and the other two get to work. So, once again, West Coast have got an interesting combination down there. They've got also the young kid down there, Oscar, too, as well, too. So, look, we understand what tonight's all about. We can't afford to give West Coast any momentum, otherwise the crowd's going to get behind them and make it hard for us. But really happy with the way the defenders are going, but they're going to need to be at their best tonight.
Mark Harvey, thank you very much for your time. An extended interview there pre-game.
Just
all
get
the best.
To the bottom and Dennis's meeting, will you?
That's given us plenty of fodder for the next half hour.
Sorry, Harvey. Bye.
Dennis, 6 changes for the West Coast Eagles heading into this one. No late changes tonight. But it is a lot of changes, isn't it?
Certainly it is. They've been a very stable side generally over their history. Certainly last year, apart from the start, they were very stable. I don't think they've got a lot of depth, to be honest, about the West Coast Eagles. They'll be tested tonight, but the players coming back in, certainly three of them, are very good. So I think they've still got a stellar chance tonight against Essendon, who were good last week, but not great.
There's queries over whether they can kick a winning score. They didn't have any problems last year, did they, when they piled on the first eight goals?
I was watching that yesterday on tape, as a matter of fact. The eight goals came very easily, didn't they? And I think at half-time, at quarter-time, certainly it was a behind to West Coast, wasn't it? And I think they got a goal very late in the second quarter. I watched it, but I don't remember.
Yeah, well, they were just ambushed from the start.
Yeah, that's right. It was very impressive stuff, and it was built on speed and real aggression. So we'll see that again tonight. In fact, Harves mentioned that, didn't he? Aggression to take the West Coast off their game and get the crowd out of it.
Mark Harvey also broke a bit of news that you might have had a special lunch today. Any news come out of that that we need to know about?
No, it's bogus. Now he's gone, I can say it's bogus. I didn't see him there at the casino. Although he said he was there, didn't he? No, I didn't see him.
There are some big wigs in town, of course, with Origin here on Sunday as well. So NRL and AFL officials. Jay-Z, one of the best newsbreakers in the game. Nick Natanui makes his return to football on Saturday in the WAFL. Everyone's really excited about that.
Yeah, fantastic to see the Eagles powerhouse back playing some footy, and I would expect that it's going to be not too long before we see him back in the AFL side. An interesting subplot to his comeback is his contract situation. Tan, I understand that his manager, Paul Connors, is in Perth this weekend to do some work on that deal specifically, and some debate going on at the moment. I think Nick Natanui, he wants a three-year deal, whereas West Coast, I think, pretty keen to offer 2 years at the moment. We know what an unbelievable athlete he is. He's such a popular player at the football club and also has huge marketing appeal. So, look, I think, I know he obviously has had the knee trouble, but I think this could end up being a two-year deal or a three-year deal or a two-year deal with some extra sugar on top.
Let's hear from the man himself before he makes his return from a second knee reconstruction on Saturday.
I think we'll sit down today and go through it, the specifics of it, but it all come down to the amount of contests and ruck stuff and minutes, maybe 60 to 70 minutes or so. So whether that's in the first half or that's spread out over the four quarters, still up in the air.
Yeah, Nick Natanui there, expected to play 60 or 70 minutes for the Eagles reserves team in the Waffle on Saturday. Adam Simpson's already hinted, Embers, that that's it. He plays one game in the Waffle and he's back.
Regardless of how Nick plays, it is just irrelevant. Nick Natanui just has to get through, and there will be a lot of people with their fingers and toes crossed on Saturday afternoon that Nick Natanui can resume playing football and just get through. And if he does that and pull up okay, then he will be taking on the Hawthorn Footy Club next Saturday afternoon.
Apparently the day is going to be a stinker. Lots of rain. It's not going to be an easy game to play, I wouldn't have thought. Jonathan Griffin is no slouch up against him. So it'll be a difficult day for Nick Nat. And I think what people need to do is probably set their bar a little bit lower. He's not going to do great things, is he? They just want to see him get through a game, work hard and do the tackling and the stuff that he perhaps bases his game on more than getting possessions.
What do you think he's worth now, Dennis? I mentioned his contract before. He's in negotiations and his manager in town. What is he worth after two knee reconstructions?
It's an interesting contract because it's not based only on football. There's a side of it, I think, certainly a large percentage of it that goes towards promotional work. So it's a unique contract in its way. I would say he'd be getting over $1 million. There's no question about that still.
Still getting it. It'd be interesting to see if he actually gets out in his next contract. I can't see him getting $1 million to West Coast going forward.
He might get it for two. He won't get it for three.
No, he wouldn't. But then on the back of that, if there's a Melbourne club out there that are prepared to offer Nick Natanui 3 years or even 4 years and take a little bit of a punt on Nick Natanui compared to a two-year offer on the table of West Coast, that suddenly is something for Nick Natanui to think about. Yeah. I think this second half of the year for Nick Natanui, firstly, just to see if he can get back to playing somewhere near his best, then at the end of the season, we can actually just weigh everything up. But I think there's a lot of people at the moment just seeing if Nick Natanui can reach that full potential once again.
One of the big stories of the week broke in Melbourne, the Collingwood Football Club, Jay. Jaden Stevenson, what did you make of the penalty?
Oh, I reckon he was lucky, Tanya, to be honest, to only get the 10-game suspension, which enables him to come back first round of finals. I mean, given the fact that he placed bets on the three Collingwood games that he played in, Oh, I think he can count himself very fortunate, very lucky indeed that he wasn't outed for a year because of, I guess, the match-fixing sort of implications or questions that this raised. I mean, some players have got clearly much lesser fines for betting on other games, but the huge danger in here is betting on games that he's actually playing in as well. So the AFL have investigated all his performances. They've quizzed other players in the team. They're satisfied that he hasn't compromised the result of the game, but is the most stupidest thing we've seen in football in many seasons. Like just
that's a mouthful.
Ridiculous, yeah. Really, that he think he could get away with it. Only $36 in bets in total, and maybe some awkward scenes. Really, I mean, in the locker room. So he says something flippantly to teammate Jeremy Howe, and Jeremy Howe says, oh, hang on, are you actually having a fair dinkum punt on football? Oh, yeah, a few multi-bets, Jeremy. Oh, mate, you got to go see the skipper. You got to go see Jeff Walsh. So maybe there was a temptation at that moment to try and keep it in-house or just between them. So is that because the bets were placed on a friend's phone, I mean, if they'd kept it just between them or Stevenson didn't say anything, this wouldn't have got out and he'd be playing. So, look, it's a good thing probably that he didn't fall for that temptation. He did bring it forward. But an awkward 24 hours for a couple of the guys at the football club, I think.
An Eagles legend.
Winner of the 2006 Goldsmith Medal is Andrew Emley of the West Coast Eagles.
Goes one-on-one with a current star.
Gaff lines up, he's all class. He's all class. What a wonderful player he is.
Premiership winning hero Andrew Emley sits down with 2015 Best and Fairest winner Andrew Gaff.
He's one of the stars of the competition. He's in good form again in 2019, and he joins us ahead of their big clash against the Bombers tonight. Andrew Gaff, welcome.
Ambers, how you going?
Very well, Gaffy. Now, listen, someone told me, a little spy told me, that you had a birthday during the week. 27 years of age, Gaffy. You're no longer a spring chicken.
No, a few more greys this year. Turned 27 on Sunday, and it's nice for the AFL to give me a weekend off.
How was that weekend off?
Oh, it was pretty cruisy, mate. I put together a barbecue on a Sunday, and then actually went to Crown and went to the buffet at Crown.
Ooh, buffet.
Epicurean, which I hadn't been there before, and basically backed the truck up there, and it was beautiful.
What's your go-to at the buffet, Gaffy?
I've always said you can get carried away with the entrees. Ooh. So it's the breads and all that can kill you early on.
They do.
Plenty of oysters, plenty of prawns, and those things don't really fill you up too much. It gives you plenty of room for the mains, and I guess a bit of pasta, a bit of steak was probably the go-to in the end, and left myself just one serving of dessert at the end.
Ooh, so, only one serving?
Just one, yeah. I couldn't quite get going, and I was lucky to get to sleep that night. I was pretty full in bed.
That was nice of Simo to allow the guys to have a few days off then?
Yeah, it was good. We had Monday to Thursday off after Sydney's, obviously, disappointment in Sydney, and I stayed in Sydney and played a couple of rounds of golf there in courses which I haven't had a chance to play. So as a kid, I never really went there as well. So it was good to spend in an area I didn't know too well. And a few guys went to Broome as well. And it was good to have that extended period off before coming in on Friday. And we had our first couple of days at Lathline Park, the Oval there, new facility. And it was great and looking forward to being there every day from now on.
Yeah, tell us about that facility. I did get to check it out last night. It's extremely impressive, isn't it?
Oh, it's amazing. It almost feels too big at the moment. And we came in on a Friday and we reviewed the Sydney game. So our first meeting in there wasn't overly positive, but it's going to be great. And for the staff as well, looking out on the ground where we train all the time. So it's going to give us the best chance of playing at absolute best for the second half of the year and for many years to come. So once we get used to it a bit more and once we figure out where everything is, it's going to be no worries.
Gaffy, massive game tonight. But before I get into it, I did want to ask you about last year's grand final and obviously just a lot of emotions leading into that game and then the game itself. You would have been so wrapped for the players. But talk to us about how that was for you.
Oh, it was really hard, no doubt. And Shep and Nick are obviously in the same boat, but with all different circumstances as well, which makes it tough. And I was so proud of how the boys performed that second half of the year with everything that happened throughout the year through many different circumstances to put it all behind and perform probably their best footy of the year in September, which is what we all strive to do. And to get it done in a close game in the grand final was amazing. So I was so proud of them and so proud for especially the guys I'm really close with as well, Scotty, Yoey, Jack, obviously Shep missed out as well, but really proud of those guys, but also I was obviously really disappointed that I wasn't out there. And that was the end of my eighth season, and obviously started when you were playing, Coxie was playing, Darren Glass was playing, but that's okay. There's no guarantees that we'll be back there, but we're going to give ourselves every shot, and it makes you appreciate when you're playing every week. And probably don't stress too much about poor performances as much. You appreciate being out there and appreciate the job you have.
A lot of speculation after that grand final about your contract, and I must admit I was one of those guys that thought that you were going. Talk to us about how close you were to actually leaving the West Coast Eagles and taking that offer from North Melbourne, and then that decision that you finally made to actually stay.
Yeah, it was a tough one. I was pretty close. I mean, a lot of stuff happened with Dad as well throughout that time, which you always want to look at what's best for your family, and very close with my mum and dad and my brother. So I guess once I knew that Dad was going to be okay, and whenever something's wrong with anyone in my family, I'm always going to go straight back there and help out whenever I can. But once I knew Dad was going to be okay, it made my decision a little bit easier. But I think West Coast have been great for me for the 9 years I've been at the footy club, and I don't have any issues with anyone at the club or the role I was playing or anything like that. And I think if those are the issues, then perhaps that's, you know, I think they might be reasons why someone would leave a club if they're not getting opportunity. But I also think that our playing group is as good as any team in the comp, and I think our top 10 players are as good as any top 10 players from any other team. So it gives us a good chance, if everyone's fit and playing well, a good chance to be a successful team. But I guess I made that decision over the weekend after the BNF, so a week after the season finished, and very satisfied with the decision, and it was a massive relief to get it off my shoulders, and it had honestly been playing on mine since about a quarter of the way through. And you wake up during the night at times and find it hard to get back to sleep because you're thinking about it. And it's different when if you grew up in Perth and you get a couple offers from interstate, it's probably not as enticing. But when you are from Melbourne and you've got a lot of mates that you don't see too often, and obviously a very good deal, it's something that you think about a lot, and a tough decision.
Massive game tonight. Just want to take you back to the corresponding game last year. You came off a bye. It was a Thursday night. It was against Essendon. They came to Perth and they absolutely ambushed you guys. Has Simo had to mention anything about that game to ensure that you guys don't make the same mistake again tonight?
I think we're about 40 points down at quarter time, and one each quarter from then on, basically. So I think just like any team, when a team gets a sniff early on, Essendon are really hard to beat. So our starts haven't been great the whole year. Even against Sydney last week, we're pretty ordinary from the start, and we need to fix that pretty quickly. And I got a lot of guys that are playing well, and I take the game on. Remember, Saad was really good last year, and McKenna has been really good as well. So those guys are brave and take it on, and we need to be at our best. And I think pressure is probably the main thing for us. We need to lift in that regard. And
where's the group at? 8-4 to start the season. You've had a bit of time now to reset. Is it? Can you compare to where you guys were this time last year?
Oh, it's fair to say we haven't played as well this year as we did last year at this time. We were 10-1 last year, and I think probably the main thing about this year, we've played some really good footy in patches, but our losses have been probably too big. All our losses really have been 7-8 goals, which hurts the percentage a bit, and we need to get back on track from now on. And we also appreciate that we've beaten some really good teams. I think Champion Data said we had the hardest draw in the first 12 rounds in the year, and to be 8-4, I mean, most teams would take that.
For mine, the midfield group, and you're part of that, I think it's absolutely crucial to the way you guys play. Just before that Sydney game, I really felt like as a group, you took that part of your game to another level. Is that a really important area for you, or do you think there's other areas there that you need to continue to improve on if you are to get back in that top four again this year?
Oh, I think if the midfield's playing well, I think the team's going to go pretty well. And a little bit down early in the year, but I think the last sort of 5-6 weeks we've really picked up.
Last couple from me. The best team you guys have played this year?
Oh, Geelong, no doubt. Yeah, they smashed us very early on. I think we're 5 goals down at quarter time. And they're going to be very hard to beat anywhere, but especially down in Geelong. And if they get a couple of home finals there, they're going to be very hard to stop.
Well, does that mean Gaffy thinks Geelong might win the flag? Well, I thought they were going back to back.
He's very impressed by Geelong. West Coast record at the Cattery has never been great. It's never been great at the SCG either. So at the start of the season, when you look at those two teams, you just put it down as a loss and you move on very quickly. But no doubt the Cats at the moment, they're the four team in the competition. I think everyone's seen that. They're nice and balanced. And just to listen to Andrew Gaff and speak so highly of the Geelong Football Club, from a West Coast perspective at the moment, they see the Cats going to be, again, very hard to beat in 2019. Hey,
what's this about last one from me? They were all from you.
They were, Dan.
Hey, is this a regular feature?
Oh, I should have gone to you for some tips before I actually jumped into the deep end, Dan.
Sounded very good. No, it sounded very good. You're the outlier, though, going one-on-one now every week.
Very crucial.
Can you stretch to 35 minutes?
I'll do that next time for you.
Okay.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks footy.